Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at The Score, and today's episode is presented by Subway, who now deliver so you can get back to the game. On today's show, we're going to get you ready for week six. We're going to reassess where we stand with several teams and their fantasy outlooks moving forward here. So let's bring on today's guest to help us out with all of that. It's Eric Moody of fantasydata.com. of The Athletic as well. You can find his stuff on both sites. Eric, thanks for joining me today. How you doing, man?
No, things are going well, Justin. You know, I do appreciate the invite to the podcast. I was looking forward to this all week. So things are going really well here in Dallas, Fort Worth. You know, we're in the thick of NFL season. Weather is starting to cool down as well. I think we go from really one extreme. It's really hot or it gets really cold. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. We actually have a fall this year. But the wife and the kiddos, you know, are doing well. But how are things in your world?
Things are great. And I was going to mention, both of us are in the top 20 in Fantasy Pros Most Accurate Expert competition. So that's a perfect start to the season, right?
Absolutely.
Today, we're going to continue something that we started last week. On last week's show, I put it out on Twitter. I asked everybody what their biggest fantasy question was after the first month. And the response was absolutely overwhelming. So we decided to do it again this week. We got a lot of good ones, a lot, but similar to last week, there was one question or a version of one question that just kept coming up over and over. So that's the one that I picked, and I'm going to read a bunch of those that came in and we can discuss how we hopefully can help the listeners out here. I will say though, before we get to that one, at Bengal Fan Canada, they had the funniest question that I got. It was, who is OJ Howard? I thought that was a very funny way to word it. I actually laughed out loud. I mean, sadly, OJ Howard is a guy that you can drop from your fantasy team now. I mean, phenomenal guy to have at a baseball game with you. He caught a baseball barehanded at the Rays game last night. But in fantasy, the Bucks aren't using him as much as we hope this year. So you can sadly let him go if there's another option out there that you could grab. But the main questions that came in all revolved around the Browns offense here. So let me read a couple of them and then we can get to it. At Rambo Riggs asks, fire sale on Browns assets not named Chubb? At FDMNFL wants to know, what do we do with OBJ? At Texas Tech Tim, is there any hope for Baker Mayfield? I'm in a 2QB league. He's killing me. At Joey Knish, does Baker Mayfield and the offensive line woes make Odell a must sell? He's currently wide receiver 37 in PPR. At Eagles Finn 80, is it time to move on from OBJ? And the last one here, at GXRNV, does OBJ equal Corey Davis based on quarterback play? So, Eric, a lot of strong takes there. A lot of people just genuinely concerned about this Browns offense, specifically the passing game. What do you think we should expect from OBJ, from Mayfield, from Jarvis Landry, and the rest of the guys in this offense like Nick Chubb for the rest of the season?
Yeah, and you're right. Those are some very, very strong takes. So many people, you know, many people didn't expect the Browns to enter week six.
They're upset. It's understandable. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, they're 2-3. You know, they've gotten blown out in two out of their three losses. You know, I do expect the offense to turn around. It really all comes down to the coaching staff. You know, you've got Freddie Kitchens calling plays. You know, he's the head coach. You know, he's the leader of men, so to speak, amongst this group. He's got to be the catalyst for change. So Baker Mayfield, you know, he's obviously struggling. That's probably like an understatement to some of those with Baker on their fantasy teams. But, yep. You know, he's averaged, you know, negative fantasy points over expectations so far this season. Mayfield's a QB 28. You know, he's averaging less than 10 fantasy points per game. He also has a true passer rating of 76.2. And this is one of the advanced metrics available in our fantasy data. You know, it does factor out unpressured throwaways and drop passes. He's also struggling to throw the ball deep. So it's not really surprising to see, you know, Jarvis Landry leading the team in receiving yards. It's ironic that he almost has nearly as many air yards as Odell Beckham at this point. You know, Landry isn't droppable and Mayfield isn't droppable either. But, you know, Mayfield's not someone that you want to rush to insert into your fantasy lineup anytime soon. So my recommendation with him is really to take more of a wait-and-see approach. And it all comes down to the format that you're participating in. So Kitchens, you know, should lean heavily on Nick Chubb. you know, as a runner, as a receiver out of the backfield. I'm like, they're giving Chubb nearly 23 opportunities a game, and a little bit over, you know, one fantasy point per rushing attempt is what he's averaging, and nearly five fantasy points per target. And he's playing about 75% of the offensive snaps, so it's an opportunity to get him on the field even more. And, you know, he does also have, when you look at his rushing and receiving fantasy points over expectation, he's positive as well. And he's someone that they can really lean heavily on. I know they'll have Kareem Hunt coming back to the fold here shortly to kind of give him a little bit of a reprieve. But I think the most important thing for the Browns right now is obviously to get some victories and some wins. Now, Odell Beckham, he's had a very high average draft position. I know he's clearly disappointed his owners at this point. You know, he's one player that I would hold. You know, Landry is more of a wide receiver three. He's someone you may want to consider selling high on. But as far as Beckham, you know, with him, I look at his statistical body of work. And I know all those fantasy owners out there are getting peltered with all sorts of crazy trade offers. So don't take any of them. Hold, sit tight. You look at Beckham, he's averaged nearly 93 receiving yards and 21 PPR fantasy points per game from 2014, his rookie year, to 2018. Obviously, that doesn't take into account 2019, but hey, there's still time for him to get it together and to produce. But really, the best thing that this Browns coaching staff could do, and it can also help Baker as well, is to let's get some completions going OBJ's way. Let him go to work, you know, for the team, Baker, and most importantly, fantasy owners with his yards after the catch ability.
Well, and like you said, they just got to get some wins, and it could be tough this week. They're on a short week. They got beat down in that Monday nighter. Now they're going up against the Seahawks, who are a legitimately good team. I'm not worried about Chubb. I agree with you there. He's been producing. Maybe not as many scoring opportunities as we hoped or we'd like to see, but he has been producing. The concern I do have is Baker, and the Seahawks aren't the worst matchup. I mean, they haven't been generating a ton of pressure, and that's really been the biggest problem, right, for Baker in that offense, is the offensive line hasn't been able to protect him, hasn't been able to give him any time to throw. So maybe in this one with that Seahawks front, if they're not getting as much pressure, maybe Baker will have some time. So I think he's sort of a middle-of-the-road starter this week. Didn't have a chance at all against the 49ers last week, like we saw. Then they have a bye in week 7. And then after that, they come off with a few tough games for this passing attack. The Patriots, the Broncos, and the Bills. At least two of those are really tough matchups with the Bills and the Patriots. The Broncos game is in Denver, so that makes it a little bit harder. But the reason you want these guys on your team, and I'm going to take a slightly different approach than you did. The reason I think you want them on your team is from week 12 on. And it's schedule-based, because at that point in the year, they get Miami, they get Pittsburgh, they get Cincinnati, Arizona, and Baltimore. And specifically, week 14 and 15, the start of the fantasy playoffs there, they get the Bengals and the Cardinals in those two matchups. So if you think you're going to make the playoffs, you want Browns in your lineup. Definitely Chubb, who can run wild on those teams, but also the guys in this passing game. You're going to want to have them on your team at that point in the year. Now, it's going to require you to survive the middle of the season, and hopefully you're going to be able to do that. I know if you invested in Beckham, at least in the first round, he probably had to get him, maybe in the early second. It's going to be tough to get through, but if you can hold these guys through this point and you can get to that final stretch of the season, I think they're going to help a lot of people win fantasy matchups at that point in the year.
That's a good point. No, I agree. I'm like, and by that time, they should have things under control.
You would hope,
trending,
right?
In the right direction,
maybe,
right?
Maybe Todd Monk and the offensive coordinator will be calling plays by that point. Who knows?
Yeah, good point.
So the Browns aren't the only team, though, that we need to talk about reassessing where they stand heading into week 6. The Jets offense also struggled out of the gate. And it's a completely different situation, though, because they lost Sam Darnold after week 1. So they've been playing. I know everyone's been getting down on them, but they've been playing with backups and really their third stringer with Luke Falk in there. So are you willing to buy Robbie Anderson, Le'Veon Bell? I know Chris Herndon, the news came down today that he's got a hamstring injury. So that long-awaited return that we thought was going to happen this week is going to have to wait at least another week. We know hamstring injuries can linger a little bit. So maybe there's some more concern about him now. But Jamison Crowder is also there. The last time we saw Crowder play a game with Darnold, he got 14 balls for 99 yards back in week 1. So are you interested in any of these Jets the rest of the way now that Sam Darnold is going to be back in the lineup?
Yeah, I am very interested in the Jets, so I'll kind of break every player down. So let's start with Le'Veon Bell. But before I dive into his breakdown, I'm still waiting on an apology from Bell for that hideous music video he released earlier this year. Just saying. But, you know, he was someone that I championed last week in my Outside the Box column at The Athletic. You know, so I'm buying. You know, he played 94% of the Jets' offensive snaps. You know, he's averaging 26 opportunities a game. You know, he's obviously been inefficient while Darnold has been out. You know, but that can change, you know, this week, you know, with the second-year QB, you know, coming back under center. So, Robbie Anderson, you know, he's someone else that's obviously been affected by Darnold's absence. You know, he's someone I'm buying as well. And I think it's easy to look in the rearview mirror with him, with what he's done this season. He's only accumulated 14 targets, has 8 receptions, and 108 receiving yards, you know, with Darnell out. And I'm sure he's counting down the minutes until he's back under center this week. So Anderson was someone touted as a breakout candidate by many in the industry, you know, myself included, this summer. You know, this narrative can still come to fruition, you know, but fantasy players should continue to be patient. I know you mentioned about Chris Herndon. I know the Jets have played Ryan Griffin on 93% of their offensive snaps. I'm sure that's not optimal or ideal for them. They'll obviously have to wait a little bit longer since Herndon's dealing with the hamstring injury. You know, I think what that tells me with his usage, at least with Griffin's usage, is that once Herndon comes back, he's going to be close to being on the field, you know, all three downs. Yep. You know, he has a rapport with Darnold going back to last season, and he's someone, if he's available, you know, in your league and you need help at the tight end position, I'd go ahead and stash him. Or it's even someone you may want to prioritize kind of like in a trade. I'm assuming you can get pretty good value on him, really based on how that owner, you know, views him.
Especially with this hamstring issue, right? Now that pops up, the person's been waiting for him. They're probably a little annoyed that he's not going to be ready now. Maybe you can get him at a discount.
Yeah, no, really good point. Because I just read about that news before we recorded here today. As far as Crowder, you brought up some really good points, Justin, about Crowder and his target share, that rapport with Darnold. So he's someone that I'm buying as well. I think his success or failure ultimately comes down to Anderson and Bell. You know, with Anderson being able to, you know, really threaten defenses vertically. You know, you've got Bell in the running game. He's also very viable as a receiver. So I'm confident that he'll get targets. I know the Jets didn't sign him to a massive contract to not feed him the football.
For sure. And I promise, I think you nailed a lot of the points there. I promise I'm not just going to talk about schedule all day here, but I have to bring it up one more time. And I brought it up on the podcast before, but the reason in my mind to buy the Jets is the schedule in the second half of the year. And when you look at it, I've read it off in the podcast before, so I probably don't need to again, but I'm going to do it one more time. After these next two matchups, they get the Cowboys and Patriots. Those are tough. But after that, the Jaguars, not as challenging as they used to be. The Dolphins, the Giants, the Redskins, the Raiders, the Bengals, the Dolphins again in week 14. The Ravens, who also not as challenging as they used to be, and the Steelers. So what a phenomenal fantasy schedule the rest of the way from that point on. I definitely stashed Robbie Anderson, Chris Herndon, like we just talked about. I'd be trying to trade for Le'Veon Bell at this point. You mentioned it. He's getting it done just on volume in tough matchups with a third-string quarterback. Wait till the matchups get better. And I know the biggest problem here for their offense, is similar to the Browns, is the offensive line. It has been atrocious, but in those easier matchups, that's going to reduce the negative impact that offensive line has on the offense. So I don't love volume-dependent slot receivers, but Crowder having that game with Darnold makes him intriguing. I would consider grabbing him, trying to trade for him if you can get him on the cheap. And Darnold himself, he could be a late-season breakout. I had him tagged for a breakout this season. Didn't expect the mono stuff to pop up, obviously, early in the year. But we could see with that schedule, people underrate his talent. Going back to last year in the final month of the season, he played very well. He was producing in fantasy. We could see that again this year. Over the second half of the year, I think you want as many Jets as you could possibly get, especially that week 14 matchup when everything's on the line. You want the team that's going against the Dolphins, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just the hideous situation there. Hideous.
We got a few hideous situations we got to keep talking about here. The Jets getting Darnold back. The Steelers going in the opposite direction. They're down to their third-string QB now. Really, their four-string QB, since they traded Josh Dobbs away to the Jags earlier in the season. Where does that leave the fantasy assets this week for Pittsburgh? Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, Deontay Johnson, Vance McDonald. There's a bunch of guys that we thought were going to be difference makers before the season. Can they overcome these quarterback injuries? And we expect, I mean, I know it was a scary hit, but Mason Rudolph's going to be back. It could even be this week. We saw Josh Allen take a brutal shot, and he was able to get back the next week. So we're going to see Mason Rudolph at some point again soon here. With all these injuries, though, do you think that these fantasy assets are going to remain as relevant as we expected, or do we have to knock them all down, especially in a road matchup against the Chargers this week?
Yeah, I'm knocking them down. You know, the QB situation, you know, really concerns me, you know, with having Devlin Hodges under center. It unfortunately leaves Juju Smith-Schuster as a high-end, you know, wide receiver three. I think the absence of Jalen Samuels, you know, due to the knee scope, you know, really solidifies Connor's fantasy value. You know, he's going to be more of a volume-based running back too. You know, but let's be candid. You know, who's really excited about inserting Connor into fantasy lineups this week? You know, the Chargers, you know, could go all out defensively to shut the Steelers' running game down and really force Hodges to beat them. You know, Connor could have some additional value, obviously, with Samuels out, you know, as a receiver out of the backfield. But it's really hard to trust, you know, Deontay Johnson, you know, Johnny Holton or Ryan Switzer. I know Washington's dealing with some shoulder issues, so he'll be out. I think Ian Rappaport may have mentioned that, either him or Schefter, I can't recall.
Yep.
But the one piece of the Steelers' passing game that I am intrigued by is Vance McDonald. I know he caught, you know, three of his targets for 34 receiving yards, and the Steelers lost to the Ravens. I know he did tie Juju for the most yards after catching his first game back, you know, following the shoulder injury. You know, his ADOT, you know, our average depth of target on the season, is 4.4 yards. I think one way that the Steelers coaching staff can help Hodges feel a little bit more comfortable and help him build a little bit of confidence is really some easy completions, you know, really leveraging that short to intermediate parts of the field. So I do see a scenario where McDonald could thrive, and I do view him as more of a high-end tight end too against the Chargers this week. That's really about it when it comes to the Steelers.
And I agree. Let's flip to the other side of that game. The Chargers fell apart last week going against the Broncos. I definitely didn't expect that. I thought they were going to take that game. The Broncos were 0-4 going in. This week, though, the Chargers get that banged-up Steelers squad, and they're 6.5-point favorites at home last time I checked. The biggest question here, though, revolves around that backfield. We've talked about it a bunch recently, before Melvin Gordon got back, even before last week, but now we've seen him on the field. We've seen that split there. So what do you see from the Gordon-Eckler split moving forward here? What do you expect from them this week in the game against the Steelers, where they're favored big? And what do you expect the rest of the season between those two good running backs?
Yeah, and I was really surprised once Gordon came back. You know, he continues to cost him, you know, cost himself a ton of money. But, you know, the split between, I guess, Gordon and Eckler, you know, went as expected. You know, Gordon ended up playing 46% of the offensive snaps. You know, he touched the football or was targeted on 56% of those snaps. Like, Eckler, on the other hand, you know, played 66% of the snaps. Like, he had a utilization percentage of 41.3%. You know, the negative game script kind of forced the Chargers to use Eckler more, you know, since he's the best receiving back that they have. So I do anticipate that the Chargers split, you know, in the backfield moving forward would really be more of like a 50-50 split. You know, obviously if they're in neutral game situations.
Yeah, Gordon had a shockingly big role last week. I know that initially Anthony Lynn had said that he's going to be the lead back when he returns. And then last week he kind of threw some cold water on that, acting like, you know, well, we're going to ease him back in. But getting those 12 carries to Eckler's three in his first game where he was actually seeing touches, that's pretty telling. And I expect that kind of split to continue. Now, the thing that's interesting here is they can use both these backs. The injuries they've had in the receiving core, they can really have both of them on the field at the same time, split Eckler out wide and use them that way. So I don't think Eckler's going to get 15 catches every week, but it was kind of a strange game script with the Broncos going up early like that and the Chargers really not being able to get anything done. But 6-7 catches a week, I think that's definitely possible. And Gordon got a couple catches in the game as well. He had 4 catches. The way I'm looking at it moving forward, I think that Gordon eventually will settle in as that low-end RB1, you know, maybe fringe RB1 on that RB1, RB2 borderline, with Eckler being on the fringe RB2, RB3 borderline. But both of them, I've said this, I think they're both going to continue to be used. We saw it that way last year. I think it's going to continue that way this season. How about the Bucs backfield here? Ronald Jones, one of the highest graded running backs by Pro Football Focus this season, stunning development. I was very hard on him last year, even leading into this season. I didn't think it was going to pan out for him, but I will admit, I like what I'm seeing from him this season. He's got his confidence back. He's more decisive. The new coaching staff definitely has helped him. The only concern that I have is that the Bucks might not want to feature one of these backs. They might prefer that committee. It's kind of working for them so far with Jones and Peyton Barber and Dario Ogunbowale mixing in as a pass catcher. Do you project anybody actually taking the lead at any point this season in this backfield, or are we just destined to have this RBBC the whole way?
Yeah, I believe Jones, you know, will take the lead, you know, of the backfield. I know he's had more opportunities than Barber over the last two games. It's a split between like 32 with Jones and 19 with Barber. You know, Jones has been really efficient, you know, this season. I'm like, when you look at his fantasy points over expectation, you know, and other efficiency metrics, you know, I know he's averaged, you know, 7.1 fantasy points per game more, yeah, you know, than expected to Barber's, you know, less than one. So about 70 basis points or, you know, 0.7 if we want to go there. So I think the differentiator for Jones when you compare him to Barber would be his ability as a receiver out of the backfield. It's something that could create some additional opportunities for him moving forward. And I think that'll be really, really important when you look at the Buccaneers' rest of season schedules. It's not the most running back friendly schedule. So I think he can get more opportunities that way as a receiver to overtake Peyton Barber.
Some other backfields I want to touch on here. The Chiefs, they got Damian Williams back last week. It's a hard game to judge. The way the Colts controlled that game, it's kind of tough to make determinations on how they're going to use all these guys moving forward. But Damian Williams played the most snaps, 35. You had LeSean McCoy and Darrell Williams playing just 14 each. None of them were particularly productive in that one, but we know that's not going to last. This Chiefs offense, it puts up points. It puts up yardage. I don't care if Patrick Mahomes has an injured ankle. They're going to be fine moving forward here. Which of these Chiefs backs, though, do you want to own? Do you think it's going to be Damian Williams? Do you think it's going to be another RBBC like we just talked about with Tampa? What are you expecting from that Chiefs backfield?
You know, as you were going through that question, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, you're like at the baseball, you know, ballpark, and you know, you want to have like your Chiefs running back on your roster, and it's like, get your Chiefs running back here. It's like you want one of these guys like in your lineup, but the question is like, which one?
Well, I've talked about that entire offense just wanting to own anyone associated with Patrick Mahomes, and we saw it again last week with Byron Pringle putting up numbers, right? It's anyone that gets into a role where they're getting enough snaps produces in that offense, so you almost do want to own every single one of them.
Yeah, I'm like, you just want some exposure. For me, I'm leaning more towards Williams. You know, in his first game back, I know he had more touches, played more snaps than LeSean McCoy, you know, coming back from the knee injury. You know, I would just consider him like a weekly RB3, you know, with upside. Kind of similar for McCoy, too. I'd just rather take my chances, you know, with him staying healthy for the rest of the season. You know, LeSean McCoy is 31 years old. When you look at, you know, he's third among running backs, you know, that are active with the most touches. You know, so the only players with more, I believe, are Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore. And so I just rather roll the dice with Williams because I know McCoy is already banged up. And he does play really well with injuries, but I just believe that Williams ultimately end up being the back to own.
Yeah, and it seems, I mean, to see him come back and get that workload over the other two guys, even in the strange game script, it was great to see because I had some concerns. I know McCoy being banged up, you know, also kind of throws a wrench into things here, but I still agree that Damian Williams is going to be the guy to own there. But I think we're right about the fact that you want to get them all. And I know everyone's dropping Darwin Thompson too, but if you got a deep bench, if you're in a deeper league, you probably want to stash him away as well because you never know what could happen. We've seen both these starters get hurt here, and the next thing you know, we could have a Darrell Williams, Darwin Thompson backfield that we're talking about in week 14, week 15, week 16. Anything's possible here.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a similar situation with the 49ers backfield, only the 49ers had a ton of success last week when Tevin Coleman came back. Matt Breida, 14 touches, 129 yards from scrimmage, 2 scores in that one. A lot of it came on that 83-yard touchdown run, though. Coleman, 16 carries, 97 yards, and a touchdown in his first game back. Which of those two would you rather own the rest of the season? Or maybe, again, the answer is just you want to own both of them.
Yeah, and this has been a crazy backfield to try to figure out. I know, you know, fantasy data writer, you know, Jody Smith and I we kind of talk about this backfield, you know, on Slack, and it's just madness. But for me, it's Breda. He's mentally tough, you know, and he does a really good job of playing through injuries. You know, he is banged up, but he still gets the job done. I mean, he's been really effective. You know, you look at his production, you look at all the different efficiency metrics that are out there. You know, see, he looks well. One thing I do like that kind of separates him from the other San Francisco 49ers running backs is his juke rate. And that's another metric that's available at Fantasy Data. He has the third highest juke rate amongst running backs right now. And that's a metric that's going to isolate a running back's on-field elusiveness, and tackle-breaking power. So it's going to divide evaded tackles by the number of total touches. So, you know, he's the guy. You know, he was the guy last year. He's still the guy this year. Again, it's like a Chiefs situation, depending on the format that you're in. You just want some exposure to the backfield. So I'm going to put my money on Breda.
Yeah, the buy-low window for these guys may have already closed after that Monday nighter. Whenever there's that primetime game and guys go off in it, it's so much harder because the public perception on them completely changes, right?
Oh, yeah.
A couple more questions here. I got to ask you about the Redskins-Dolphins game. We're talking about public perception. No one wants to watch this game, probably not even Redskins or Dolphins fans. It's not often that we see two teams that are just this bad square off against each other. But because these teams get crushed most weeks, it does create potential for fantasy production in this one, maybe a lot of it. It's also risky, though, because when you have bad teams and bad offenses, they could crater at any moment, right? So you're really taking a chance getting involved there. Are you willing to start anybody from these games? And there's been guys that have gotten in. I mean, Terry McLaurin for sure is somebody that I'm looking at. Are you willing to start anybody from the Redskins, Dolphins, or are you just going to stay away from this one so you don't have to watch it at all?
Yeah, and I won't shy away from this one. I think this will go down like on this podcast is my bold take, so
okay.
to speak. And
all
so
right. I like really, it.
The two players that I'm willing to expose myself to in this matchup are Adrian Peterson and, as you mentioned, Scary Terry. And so, like with Peterson, so I'll have to really, really sell this one. So his biggest obstacle this season has been negative game flow. You know, he's totaled 18 yards, you know, on 7 rushing attempts in the Redskins' loss to the Patriots. And we know they got blown out in that game. You know, Washington's been playing from behind. You know, they finished that game with just 20 rushing attempts. You know, on the season, you know, you look at Peterson, you know, it's not pretty. He's averaged, you know, 10 rushing attempts, you know, 27 rushing yards, and, you know, 0.2 touchdowns per game this season. He's only been targeted 5 games as a receiver out of the backfield. You know, obviously Chris Thompson has dominated those opportunities. You know, he's had 35 targets so far this season. So, you know, the Redskins have had a lot of, attention, we'll say, lately. You know, Jay Gruden's had some intriguing videos that have been out there on social media. And he's also gotten fired. He made comments about his, you know, his key not working. But then I guess he was summoned to a meeting with the GM and the owner at 5 in the morning. That can never be a good thing. So the team fell to 0-5. He's out. So I thought what was interesting was when Josina Anderson tweeted out Bill Callahan's comments about needing to run the ball more. And that comment did take place from what a player confirmed with Jay Gruden, like, in the room. So, you know, we've got the Redskins under Callahan's leadership. I know there's a lot of jokes out there amongst, you know, our industry, Justin, about establishing the run and, you know, this old mindset versus the new mindset. So I think we're going to have a kind of like a boom of that old kind of mindset in this game. So you got Callahan who's going to run the ball. Washington finally has a matchup against the Dolphins where they can finally see neutral to positive game flow. So Miami's allowed, you know, 36 fantasy points per game to running backs over their last 5 regular season games. Peterson's at the end of his career. You know, he obviously hasn't had many opportunities so far for this season. So he should be well rested. And he may be able to exceed his anemic 2.7 yards per rushing attempts, you know, from this season in this game. So I consider him more of like an RB3 in this matchup, depending on how deep, you know, of a format that you're in. So he's actually someone I would be okay with putting into the lineup. I know you mentioned about Scary Terry. You know, I know he's really established himself as the Redskins' number one receiver. Like, he's getting a lot of really good volume, you know, 8 targets a game. You know, he's averaging, you know, 77 receiving yards a game and nearly a touchdown a game. And he looked great, you know, against the Patriots' elite secondary. I'm like, you got to think about the competition that he's, you know, going toe-to-toe again. So his stat line was actually very, very impressive to me. So I think he'll have an opportunity to get back on track against the Dolphins and, you know, could even push for wide receiver two upside in this matchup, depending on how Callahan plays things and his, you know, establishing the run.
I think you nailed it. And I have Adrian Peterson ranked in my top 30, and that's in half point PPR, where obviously he's not that involved in the passing game. But I'll say, like, after I got past about RB25 or so, he could really move up there. Because after that point, you're talking about guys like Jordan Howard, who's been playing really well, but he's going up against the Vikings. There's some guys in that range that just I'm not totally convinced on this week. And you could see Peterson come out and score even a couple touchdowns to put him up into that top 20, that top 24. One of the biggest reasons why is I don't think the Dolphins want to win games. I think that has to factor into this. The Redskins seem like they want to win this one. Callahan's coming in. He's challenging the players this week. Seems like they want to maybe try to turn things around, or at least Callahan's going to try to force the issue, where I think that Dolphins coaching staff, they're on board with what's going on there. They know it's a rebuild. They want to lose these games. So I wouldn't be as interested in the Dolphins' backs in this one. Maybe a couple of those receivers. I know Preston Williams, since Josh Rosen came in, started. He's got 19 targets over the last two games. Before their bye, Devontae Parker had 4 for 70 and a touchdown, I believe. So there's some possibilities there. They're going to have to throw the ball. And you can throw the ball against the Redskins, obviously. But if you're talking about game script and you're trying to project that, I think there's a much better chance that the Redskins get up in this one and that we see Peterson finally get something done there. But even if you do play guys in this game, you probably don't want to watch the game anyway. We always end the podcast by asking this question. Which players do you think are being overlooked this week in fantasy?
Yeah, I was thinking about this question once you mentioned we were talking about it.
You can go in any direction. I mean, you can go, sometimes it's players that are talented that, you know, you'd normally have in your lineup, but they're getting kind of disrespected this week. Or you can also go a little deeper and try to find some, you know, some deeper sleepers that you could potentially play.
Yeah, it's a couple of names, you know, that came to mind. I know one is Gardner Minshew. I'm like, he's a QB9 right now. You know, he's averaged, you know, 18 fantasy points per game. You know, he's someone that seems just to not get the respect, you know, that he deserves. You know, Chris Carson, you know, obviously another one. I think some of the Rashad Penny truthers are still kind of holding out, you know, hope. You know, hope's not a viable strategy. You know, Carson's got the body of work this season statistically to show that, hey, he's the guy. Tyler Lockett's another one. Just people are not buying into him. You know, they view him as like a wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3. I'm like, he's a low-end wide receiver 1 in my opinion. I'm like, he's not getting as many targets, you know, 8 over the last two games, but he's been very productive. And I think another guy that gets completely like disrespected, you know, I tweeted something out about him earlier this morning, was DJ Shark. You know, Minshew has a quarterback rating of 154.6 when targeting him. You know, the only receiver that has a higher QBR that's getting similar volume is Chris Godwin. So I was like, Shark, you know, someone, he should be in your lineup every week. So those are some guys that that come to mind that, you know, are really getting overlooked right now.
Yeah, I had Shark. I had him as a sit last week going into that matchup against James Bradbury of the Panthers. And I said in the article, if he does it this week, if he does it against Bradbury, against that defense, then he's a guaranteed top 15 play the rest of the way. He really got himself into that wide receiver 2 conversation with wide receiver 1 upside every single week. Just made a huge leap from year 1 to year 2. You could just see he's improved so much out there, and he's playing with confidence and just more technically sound. Last year, he looked like he was lost on the field. And now this year, every time a challenge has come his way, he's come through, scored a touchdown really every week. The only week he didn't have a touchdown, it got nullified by a penalty there. So just a phenomenal player, really one of the bigger breakout players this year so far. I went a little deeper with some of mine, so we're going to have a nice balance here. Gus Edwards, it's the Ravens' second best matchup of the year. They played the Dolphins, obviously, in week 1. This week, they're 11-point favorites against the Bengals. Just been crushed by running backs. We've seen when the Ravens control a game, Edwards gets more involved. They're going to run a lot in this game. I think if you're looking for a desperation play, 50 yards and a touchdown isn't out of the question. Definitely within his range of outcomes. Mark Walton. Now, I know I talked about not playing the Dolphins rushing attack, but this one might be one you just want to grab him and stash for now to see what happens, because There's some rumors out there that he's going to be more involved coming off the bye in this backfield. For what that's worth, do you want to own a Dolphins running back? I don't know. But when you're talking about someone that's not really getting any attention, Walton's a guy out there in pretty much every league, and you could grab him for this matchup if you're desperate, or like I said, just as a stash, just to see what happens over the next few weeks. And Jacoby Myers is the other one. If Philip Dorsett's out, and it seems like he's going to be, Myers should take over in three wide sets. And that's what happened last week. Could be a sneaky flex play there. Dorsett's been producing in that spot. Now, whether that's Dorsett's connection with Brady or not, we've seen when Brady and Myers have played together, whether it was the preseason or not, not totally on the same page yet, but Myers delivered in the preseason. We know he's capable, just needs that opportunity. Seems like he's going to get it here. Patriots should dominate in that game. So Myers might get even a little more production later in the game as well. I don't think that they would take him off the field when they take some of the vets out of the game. So maybe even in the second half, if the Patriots are up big, we're going to see Myers producing in that one. That is all for today's show. Go and follow Eric on Twitter at Eric N. Moody and check out all his content on Fantasy Data, on The Athletic, on Dynasty League Football. He is a busy man out there. Eric, it has been a great time here. Appreciate you coming on, joining me.
No, I do appreciate the invite, Justin. Hey, it's been great. You know, it was fun chatting with you about fantasy football, and look forward to doing it again very soon, my friend.
Yeah, I know. It's busy during the season, and it's tough to carve out the time. So we'll see if we can make something happen during the season. If not, we'll get you back on during the off season for sure.
All right, sounds good, man.
Remember, you can find all my content on the Score app and by following me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Big thanks to Eric. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening. We will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. Said leave on time.